Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
The dictionary defines a disability as a physical or mental condition that limits a person's movements, senses, or activities. Well, as an amputee, Stephen Wilson believes his disability is his strength. At the age of 13, Stephen was run over by a truck. Doctors were forced to amputate his right leg just below the knee. It wasn't until this accident that he became serious about sport, and also, more significantly, Christian faith. At the age of 25, Stephen started training in athletics, and just 1 year later, he represented Australia in Germany. He then won 2 gold medals at the 2000 Paralympic Games in Sydney, silver and bronze in Athens, and bronze in Beijing in 2008. He is now the principal and a PE teacher at Dalby Christian School in Queensland. It's a truly inspiring story. Stephen Wilson, thanks for joining us on Open House.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Great to have you with us. Stephen, what was life like before you became an amputee?
I had a fantastic childhood growing up in Sydney suburbs. I loved sport and was very active. And so life for me was carefree. I was brought up in a Christian home and so had a great family and everything was just going well. Having said that, I was probably taking a lot for granted in life and possibly wasn't recognising certain aspects of life. Life was all about me.
Then came that day at the age of 13 with the accident. Take us to that moment, Stephen.
Yeah, so I was going to a GPS school in Sydney. It was my first year. I was in the school athletics team. It was 2 days before the GPS All Schools Carnival. And I was just finishing up a training session, last training session, and was on my way home from the school. And to get home, I used to catch a train. And so outside of my school was a big four-lane highway, which we crossed at a set of lights. And I was a bit late on this particular day. And so the lights had actually were red for the traffic. And I wasn't quite at the crossing. And the little green man had stopped and the little red man had started flashing, warning that it was nearly going to change again. And I made one of those split-second decisions to cross the road about 30 metres down from that crossing, knowing that if I missed that set of lights, I'd probably miss my train. And I just took one step out in the road and was hit by a truck, which was slowing down for that set of lights. It knocked me to the ground and ran over my foot, and all of a sudden my life changed.
Describe to me that moment when you're lying down on the ground.
Well, initially, I didn't know I'd even been knocked over by a truck. I thought I must have been hit by an older boy from behind. And I went to get up. I couldn't. And I remember looking and seeing a leather school shoe next to me torn in two, just sitting by itself, but it was torn in two. And then I saw what looked like a rubber toe. I didn't connect them as being mine until I looked down at my foot and it was a mess. Yeah, all of a sudden, I mean, shock sets in and you can't believe it. Like, I'd been fairly accident-prone and my father was a doctor, and so I was used to going and getting stitches and broken bones fixed up and you walk away. And I remember waking up later that night in hospital after I'd had an operation, still, I think, with the idea that here was another accident. Yes, it was more serious, but I don't think I'd ever thought about the idea of a permanent disability. And it was only when I was told that I'd lost my foot and actually looked under the bed sheets to see that part of my body was missing, all of a sudden the permanency of that hits you, and it's a very strange feeling to see something that's just gone and you know that it's not coming back and there is no fix. It's very much like something dies. I just remember just feeling like my life was going to change forever. And I think so much of who I was, my identity, was wrapped up in my capacity to do sport, and that died at that moment. I was suddenly thrown into the category of a disabled person. So for a 13-year-old boy who finds a lot of his identity wrapped up in his physical capabilities, I wondered who I was.
Your dad's a doctor. You say you're in a Christian home. How did your parents cope with this? What did they say to you about it?
Well, I mean, initially, after I woke up, my mum and dad didn't want to tell me what happened. They wanted me to have a good night's sleep, which wasn't going to happen. And so I finally got it out of them. Dad's relatively calm kind of person. He's used to dealing with these kind of things. But, yeah, I mean, it shook the family. There were some interesting things behind the scenes, both for myself personally and also with my family. I was, I guess, being full of zest, I was really starting to run off the rails a bit. I know before my accident, one incident at home where I was really out of line, and my mum really prayed for me that the Lord would really take a hold of my life. This was about a week before my accident.
Wow.
My mum, reflecting on that time, looks back and really sees the accident as being something as God's plan for my life. But even myself personally, the week before the accident, put my faith in the Lord about 6 months prior to the accident. Whilst I was saved, if you like, there was lots of areas in my life which needed God to be working in. And I was due to run in a carnival on a Sunday prior to the big carnival. And my parents said, look, Sunday sport's not on. Church is a priority for us as a family, and so you won't be going. And I remember even then I was embarrassed about that. I was embarrassed to have to tell my teachers and my peers that I was going to church instead of running. And I remember praying to God and saying, Lord, please never let me be embarrassed by this again. And I still remember reflecting on that in hospital, that in a funny way God answered my prayer, and that it was never going to be an issue, at least in school again. I wasn't going to get selected for an athletics team. I think I look back and see that God was in different ways shaping me and, I guess, steering me in the right direction. Sometimes for different people, it takes a bit to get our attention.
There's so many levels of timing that are involved in your story, and yet it would seem to many to be a bizarre answer to your mother's prayer, and many would be angry at that answer. How did you respond?
A lot of people, whenever I've talked about this, you know, in Christian settings, will say, were you angry at God? I mean, I only really started talking about it when I got into athletics, you know, some 15, 20 years later. And my response has been absolutely not. I think all things work together for good to those that love him. My experience with having an artificial leg has really been a positive one. Yes, there's some negative things about it, but by and large, I've had some great opportunities. So I really do believe that, you know, the Bible tells us that God chastens those that he loves and disciplines us. And I can't categorically say what God's plan was in it. I can reflect on it and think there were some strange happenings around that time which lead me to believe that God very much had a hand in it. But I essentially trust God in good times and bad times, and I can only give thanks for how God has shaped my life.
And in a strange kind of way, this really led you to become much more serious about your faith.
Yeah, I think it was something which created a big stop. I guess a lot of that young arrogance and pride caught up in my capabilities as a sports person, if you like. I was humbled. I was all of a sudden disabled, and I even reflect going back to school, and everybody was just so nice to me, and all the teachers were just so nice and supportive, and I definitely changed personality. I think my confidence was down, but I think I started thinking about more than just myself from that time, and it was a slow process, but I think that was the catalyst of getting a bit more serious about life.
That's the other amazing thing. It's not until then that you actually become very competitive about sport. That's after the accident.
Prior to the accident, I was very competitive, loved sport. After the accident, it was about really exploring what I could and couldn't do. And when I finally got a leg made, you know, probably 3 months after the accident, I realised I could run. I just thought that was fantastic. I was just, I thought, well, fantastic. Maybe I can't compete at a high level, but I can certainly enjoy playing sport. And I remember at a school level, I still played sport at a fairly high level. Obviously, I wasn't a dominating force in athletics, but, you know, I was an average runner, even with an old wooden leg. But I really didn't get serious about athletics as such until I was about 25. I think I saw an ad in the paper for the 1996 Atlanta Paralympic Trials, which were held in Sydney. And I thought, I'm going to go and see what these disabled people do. And so I remember taking a video camera along, thinking I might catch sight of another amputee, and I'd never interacted at all with another amputee, so I didn't know what their capacities were. And so I remember filming that and seeing them run and thinking, you know what, I reckon I could compete with these guys who are heading off to Atlanta. And so it was after that, early 1997, I went to my prosthetist and said, look, I want you to make me a running leg. And he said, well, you show me how you can run, and if I think you're worth me investing time in, then I'll make you a leg. And we went out to the track. I ran 100 metres, I think, in 13.5 4 seconds or something with a dodgy old leg.
That's amazing.
Really just a wooden leg, and he said, righto, we'll make you a leg.
You're on.
Yep. And,
That's so good.
It was only about 6 months after that that I was selected for my first international team. We went to Germany and I ran 11.7 seconds and came second. And silver medal at Atlanta, ran 11.9. So my time in 6 months, I'd really run a time which would have got me a silver medal at the Atlanta Games.
And the thing is, you weren't a young bloke by this time.
I was about 26, I think, at the time. So that started my journey to the Sydney Games and on.
You must have been a very determined bloke in that. What fired that to achieve to the level that you did?
Hard to say. I don't know that I would have taken to sport as seriously if it hadn't involved my leg. I think there was part of me wanting to say, hey, I'm okay, I can do this, I'm not disabled. You know, obviously running with an amputated leg is very much saying, here's what I can do with my disability. It wasn't like I was playing table tennis or something that the disability have had very little effect on. So I think that drove me. I think, obviously, being able to represent your country and mix it with the best in the world, it's motivating. I guess I never set out to say, hey, I want to one day be a world champion. One step leads to another, and you get more motivated as you achieve more goals and the journey continues.
Can you take me into another moment, that first race in the 2000 Paralympic Games in Sydney, in Australia? What was that moment like?
Probably a 400-metre heat, and I won it fairly easily in a Paralympic record time. It was essentially fairly positive. I was fairly confident in going through anyway, so there wasn't a lot of nerves there. So that was good in front of friends and family.
Then came gold.
Gold came in two relays, in the 4x100-metre relay and the 4x400-metre relay. The 4x100-metre gold was in the morning, and that was a great feeling. But in my 400 final individual, I came fourth and ran 2 seconds slower than my best, and was pretty disappointed. So Sydney experience, yeah, was full of highs. It was an extremely intense time, because it was the home games, lots of family and friends around. But the competition itself, there was some great thrills and then some great disappointments. So, yeah, it was a roller coaster.
Did you pray about your performance?
I guess I did to a certain extent. I never felt that I could ever pray for success. I prayed that I might have more in the preparation, discipline and courage. And even the journey as a Christian through that period was really about, well, what on earth is an athlete doing here, running up and down a track? Surely there's more important things to do in life. How do I actually glorify God in this? How is this useful other than being a bit of an ego trip? Particularly in those first 3 years, it was trying to get my head around how Christians should interact in the world of sport and whether it's a valid thing to be sinking a lot of time and effort into.
Because you need a lot of strength to do what you've done, not just physically.
I think an athlete's life is sometimes not understood as much as from the outside. We watch sports people on TV and it looks lots of fun and you're in the limelight, etc. But I guess the tough times are in the middle of the winter when it's raining and you've got a session to do and you'd rather be sitting at home on the couch.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot of persistence and discipline and pushing through pain and really hurting yourself. There's all that side of it. And yes, you've got to be very determined and persistent in that.
I wouldn't be surprised if there are not quite significant conversations you have with your fellow Paralympians.
My position as a Christian on the team was pretty clear from the word go. And people knew that, well, initially I didn't run on Sundays. I certainly didn't train. And in competitions, I didn't run on Sundays either. I did make some exceptions to that rule when it came to the Olympics. From time to time, different people would want to talk to you about that, and I had a number of good conversations. One was just very point blank. I remember we were at a camp at the AIS, and it was a bit of a downtime, and one of the other competitors gave me a call and said, hey, come over, I want to talk to you about your face. And I thought, well, there's no greater open doors than that. And so just those opportunities came up from time to time where you just got to share the gospel and what it means to you as a person.
If you were able to talk back into the head of that young boy at 13, laying in that bed, pulling the sheet back and finding that his leg had been amputated. What would you now say to him?
Interestingly, there was a visitor who came and visited me, and he's really been the voice in my head. He was a missionary. He used to be a missionary in India, principal of a Christian home for boys. He was about 70 at the time, and he was probably the person I rated as the most boring visitor that I had. Everybody was bringing me chocolates and games and so on. He came in and he brought me a cross stitch that his wife had knitted. And the interesting thing is that everybody would come into hospital and say, "Oh, look, so sorry about your accidents. You know, so sorry about your accident, your accident, your accident." And he came and said, "Stephen, what's happened to you isn't an accident. It's part of God's plan for your life." The cross stitch he gave me was, "God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." Interestingly, I've still got that cross stitch.
I bet.
Some 30 years on.
Yeah.
And all the other things, you know, the chocolates and the games. I even was given a computer, a Vic 20, by my school. All those things have passed, but his words continue to ring in my ear that it wasn't an accident, but it's part of God's plan for your life. And so he gave me hope right from the word go, even though at the time I probably didn't appreciate it. But I find it interesting that I still remember him so vividly, and I can't remember much else about hospital. And yet at the time, hearing those words, it wasn't significant. So I really believe that, you know, God sends people into your life at different times, and sometimes you're not even ready to hear it, but his word is saying in your heart, and it's something that grows into life.
I said at the top, it's a truly inspirational story, and I'm so glad that you've shared it with us on Open House. Stephen Wilson, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.